Our 10-minute speaker is Imu. No, I'm sorry, of San Diego.
Emru, alcoholic?
Emru.
So again, my name is Emru, I'm an alcoholic. I'm totally grateful to be here tonight. I absolutely hate speaking, but I was kind of taught, like, you have to say yes, so here I am. Basically, I don't know, I'm from Brooklyn, New York. My family, you know, they're Caribbean. They moved here to give our family, like, a better opportunity. My grandmother adopted me when I was 2 weeks old. I guess she felt as though it'd be better for my parents. Maybe they weren't ready, whatever the case may have been. I always remember, as far back as I can remember, I'm sorry, kind of looking at my situation and just not being satisfied. Like, I was super ungrateful. Like, why did I have to be born into this situation? You know, I don't have a mom or a dad. My grandmother moved us to the suburbs of Long Island, New York, again, to give me, like, a better opportunity. And at that age, I totally couldn't see it, you know? I was, you know, like, why are we moving to this new place? You know, the place that I lived, basically, predominantly white, one of the only black kids, and just, I don't know, just, I remember always feeling as though I didn't fit in. I truly believe, like, I had that spiritual malady prior to taking a drink. I always told myself I wouldn't drink. You know, I'm not gonna, because, like, my grandmother would give me the speeches, and I thought I understood the relevance of what she was saying, and, you know, I definitely vowed not to drink or do any of that stuff at an early age, but I don't know, that time came where, like, my need to fit in outweighed, like, the need to, like, listen and respect, like, my grandmother's wishes. So, I don't know. I remember taking that drink, and not only did I fit in, I kind of, like, the playing field was kind of, like, I wasn't thinking about how I didn't belong anymore. You know, and as a matter of fact, I was right at home, you know. I was equal to you. And, man, it was right on time. You know what I mean? It really was. So, I don't know. I drank. I didn't really see anything out of the ordinary with my drinking. I thought it was just like everyone else's. My best friend's parents let us drink in the basement. You know, I totally thought it was okay. I was one of those kids who, you know, counselors would totally always, oh, he's got so much potential. And I don't know, I've been hearing a lot about potential since I've gotten to these rooms, and I don't know about you guys, but, like, that, I hated that word. I didn't understand, what do you mean I have so much potential? To do what, exactly? You know what I mean? I didn't understand it. And I don't know, that carried on for a while, because, like, now that I was fitting in, like, everything else started to kind of, like, go to the wayside, you know. I was a great student, started drinking, and became not so great. Thank you. And, I don't know, my grandmother's, like, super strict lady, just from a different place, you know. And, I didn't understand because, like, the people around me, I don't know, I was always comparing my life to, like, the lives of the people around me. And, like, he has a mom and dad, like, why don't I have a mom and dad? And so on and so forth. So, it was, you know, like I said, like, drinking kind of took that all away. And it became, like, necessary. For me, it was a weekend thing at first. And then, I don't know, that progressed into, like, not showing up to school. And, like, things started to go south, like, pretty early. I got into other things. I was always looking for the easier, softer way. So, I don't know, I thought it was a great idea to, like, become an entrepreneur and, you know, sell drugs. And at a really early age, like, my love for making money, like, that took precedence. That was, like, up there with drinking, you know? And in order to live that lifestyle, like, I had to drink more because, like, I would have considered myself at that time, like, a pretty good kid. So it was really hard to go against all that I knew without having a drink. You know what I mean? And so that kind of enabled me to do what I was doing. And, man, I was running from life from the start. Like, I remember my SATs coming up, and I was such a fearful person, like, that I partied and used, and I didn't show up for the test, like, because I was afraid that I wouldn't do well, you know? And that was just, that's like an example. That's the sort of, those are the sort of things that I did, you know? And, I don't know, like, I chose to move as far as away from my parents because in my mind, like, I didn't want to be a burden to them. This is what I was telling myself. And I don't want them, my grandmother, to have to worry about me anymore. You know, she's at an age where she, you know, she should be retired somewhere. So I'm just going to leave everything I know, you know. And looking back on it, the truth is, like, I really just wanted to drink and use, like, comfortably without feeling, like, guilty, you know. And so I came to San Diego, and things got worse. Yeah, I started, you know, going to jails and institutions, and none of that really was sufficient enough for me to, like, see what the problem was. I truly believe, like, I need to go through what I went through in order to get to where I am now. For me, I had to be beaten into a state of reasonableness. And it wasn't just, like, it wasn't any one thing. I think it was collectively, like, everything, you know? Like, I had to have nothing left. And I don't know. I had to get to this point where, like, I believed that I had exhausted every option, you know? Like, there was no place to run. I was out of ideas because my brilliant ideas weren't really so brilliant, and it got me nowhere. So I can't really tell you what the thought process was. I just remember getting there and being like, I'm done. Like, and at that point, like, I had nothing, no one except my parole officer. You know what I mean? Like, that was the only person I could go to and get help from. So, like, man, I hung on to that with, like, for dear life. Like, you know, like, I went in there with my tail tucked in between my legs, and I had just gotten out of prison, and, like, in my mind, like, you have to go have another drink because these people aren't going to help you unless you come in there, like, looking really desperate and, like, you know. So I did that, and I went into my parole office, and, you know, I'm like, oh, I need help. I mean, look, see, I pee for you, you know, I'm dirty. And he was just like, are you fucking for real? Like, How'd you know I wouldn't just arrest you right now? And I was just kind of like, well, I was just kind of hoping that you'd be sympathetic. And so he's like, you idiot. Now all that has done is, like, you've lost the option of, like, picking maybe where you want to go get treated. You know what I mean? Now you have no control. And now you have to go to wherever I send you. Now you're mandated. I was just like, really? I could have just come in here and, you know, told you my story and you would have helped me? That was another bright idea, right? So, man, I went in, and he basically said, I was like, well, can you tell me where I'm going to go? He's like, don't worry about it. You're going to a good place. And I ended up at the San Diego Freedom Ranch, right? Great place. But it's exactly what I needed, you know what I mean? And I'm not going to tell you, like, I did Freedom Ranch and I did Pathfinders, and I'm not one to say, like, I loved it or even enjoyed it. No. I didn't. But it was exactly what I needed, you know? And at that point, like, I was willing to be, to shut my mouth to some degree and listen to suggestions. And I don't know. As a result of that, like, I got a safe place to take the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I try not to argue today. I try not to fight as far as this is concerned, you know? Because, like, today I want to live. And I was fortunate to go to Pathfinders, and there were a lot of old-timers who had come before me. And I don't know. I was one of the guys that kind of, like, they didn't really annoy me. Like, I understood where they were coming from. Like, they have this short window to impress upon you, like, these ideals. And they can be pretty brutal sometimes, you know? But for the most part, like, I felt as though it was coming from a good place. And I don't know. Today I have the opportunity to start to look at life through, you know, a new set of eyes. And it's great, really. You know, I got some great friends. Good things are happening for me. And it's a direct result of the work, you know, that I've done here. And I don't know. For me, I'm not really willing to see what happens right now. If I don't do the work, you know, I can't speak for, but today, you know, so, you know, today, as of today, like, I'm continuing to do this work. And I forgot to say this in the beginning, my sobriety date is May 7th, 2015. And I don't know. Life's totally changed for me, and I don't believe that it's going to be, like, all peachy, you know what I mean? Life is life, but just the thought of having the ability to walk through it, like, really brings me a sense of, like, freedom. So I just want to thank everyone tonight for the opportunity to speak.